least favorite core value, trials. And one of the things that I have appreciated about New City and the mission and vision core values here is this idea of trials as being this thing that God actually uses to mature us in the faith. And so there for all of us, difficult seasons, difficult times of our lives, where we might wonder, what in the world, where is God in all of this? What is he doing? And I think it's a great thing to reflect on, the way the Bible talks about trials and difficult times for the Christian, that God uses them in many ways. And so Jeff is going to bring and open God's word for us this morning. Jeff, thank you so much for being here with us. And I will hand it off to you now.
Hello? Does that work?
Oh, good.
Wow. Technology's neat sometimes. It's good to be with you this morning. And we can hopefully... I like to be close. We're together in this. And I'll use this as a backup if I need. Okay. Very good to be with you. And yes, we're going to talk about the core value of trials, and yes, that this is God's means that he wants to mature us. So a metaphor we're going to use this morning, just as a picture for you, is when we hear the word trials, if you will just picture a fiery furnace, okay? And this fiery furnace, actually, it kind of was mentioned in the call to worship, and Peter was referring to it. This furnace, you know, puts out some heat, and you put your precious metal, whatever's valuable to you, you put it into the fiery furnace, you put the heat to it, and what happens? It refines it. Something comes out of it. What comes out of it? The dross, the yuck stuff, impurities. Amen? And then what you're left with is the pure stuff. Okay? And so when you think about trials, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Apostle Peter, and some other folks perhaps as well. But when you think about people and you think about trials, I want you to have a picture of that fiery furnace. And you could also think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were also, I think, put into a fiery furnace. Okay, you following with me? Okay, so that's our metaphor or our figure of speech for trials this morning is the furnace. Now, just as a jumping off point, we're going to read James chapter 1, but we're going to move all over the place. So if you have your scriptures, please be ready to bounce all around. James chapter 1 is one of the key texts that introduces this whole idea that we really want to hold together both the fiery furnace and joy. Hopefully I'll have enough time to get to the joy. But this is the awesome thing about the gospel. The good news concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is he brings both the fiery furnace and joy together. And I hope we actually get to that point. But I want to read the text for us and connect this a little bit to the kingdom of God. Out of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Amen? Amen. That is God's good word. With that, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we just humbly, but yet also honestly, come before you and acknowledge we don't like fiery furnaces. And Lord, by your grace through faith, we want to learn how to submit to your way. Salvation is from you and by you. Therefore, we must learn it from you. So speak to us. Fill our hearts full of that substance called faith. Refine it, make it mature and complete, and use even your word to help point us in that direction. We ask this according to the blood of Jesus shed for us all. And together everyone said, Amen. Okay, so God is going to use these, He's going to use the fiery furnace in our lives to refine us. Now, before we get into trials, I want to connect this to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God really is God's agenda for His people in this world. Amen? It's about His rule and reign in this earth. It's about His rule and reign in South City in 2018. Amen? And how God Himself from the beginning has been working to gather a people unto Himself. A people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And praise the Lord, we got a pretty good representation here this morning, don't we? Yes! This simply means He's doing just what He promised to do. Amen? We are a part of that fulfillment. And that's where part of that joy starts to bubble up. Okay? And so God's got an agenda for us. He's calling us together, reconciling us to Him, reconciling us to one another, and then dispatching us and deploying us out into the community to learn, to love, and to serve our God by demonstrating the love of God and compassion and justice of God to others. Amen? And especially to the poor and vulnerable of the earth. We do this. That's our calling. We don't define that calling. That's His agenda. Amen? Now, with that agenda, we want to connect trials. Why does a fiery furnace fit into this? Well, just simply put, the fiery furnace is the means, it's the how of what God uses to shape our faith, to get us to focus on loving God and loving our neighbor. Amen? And so in reality, if we're honest with ourselves, in a broken world, we come to Jesus in faith. But the reality is that faith really is quite mixed. Are you with me? It's not a perfect faith. I mean, it's a faith, but there's some other things mixed in there too. Are you with me? Let's take this for example. You love God. Amen. Do you love Him with all your heart? Well, okay, let's be honest, okay? Okay, let me give you an example in terms of applying that, in terms of do you love God with all your heart. Now, if we take any day of last week, and we take three subjects, God, your neighbor, and yourself, who did you spend time thinking about most of all? Are you with me? A mixed faith? There's all kind of stuff mixed in there, isn't it? Mostly me, myself, and I. Are you with me? We spend the day thinking constantly about ourselves. We are preoccupied with ourselves. It's called human agenda. And see, that human agenda can get in the way of serving God's agenda. Are you with me? It can hamper things. And so the Father knows that, and He knows that, and He loves you, and He knows that He needs to take us all through the fiery furnace to help us purify our faith that we might better learn to love, that we might better learn to serve. That's the purpose of the fiery furnace. Okay, so let's take an example. You might know this gentleman, the Apostle Peter. And we want to use him just as a few examples to show that, you know, real believers have real impure faith. Now, Peter, was he a follower and a believer in the Lord Jesus? Amen. I mean, the Lord called him. He left his career. And he followed Jesus. And it got better as he began following Jesus. If you looked over in Matthew chapter 16, I mean, Peter was really jamming with the Lord, moving right along. One day, Jesus came to his disciples and he said, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" This is Matthew 16, verse 13. They replied, verse 14, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." "But what about you," he asked, "who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Amen? True faith? Amen. I mean, Peter's moving on down the road, man. "Yeah, I know who you are, yeah. You're the Messiah. Let's go." All right. So they go. Following immediately after this, Jesus, in verse 21 of Matthew 16, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And on the third day, raised to life." Peter took him to the side and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Are you with me? Here he is. "Yeah, you're the Messiah. I know who you are. Let's go. We're going to do this thing." And suddenly, it's exposed that Peter's faith just really isn't as pure as one might think. Amen? There was some hidden agenda there. Are you with me? Human agenda that stood in opposition to God's agenda. You see that? So, if that being the case, I wonder if there might be some hidden agenda in us. What you think? I mean, if Peter has it, I think there's a pretty good chance we have the problem too. You know, maybe there is a neighbor, a coworker, a fellow church member that you're not willing to love, serve, or forgive. Can that agenda get in the way of? Yes. Yes. Therefore, there is a need for the fiery furnace. Are you with me? There's a real place for that fiery furnace to expose and to purge the impurities of the human agenda. Now, if you would, skip with me. We're staying with the person, the Apostle Peter. We're sticking with him, and we're going to now follow him up all the way to just prior to the Lord Jesus being arrested. And again, I want to help persuade and convince you in your heart, because I mean, for some of us, in my Christian walk anyhow, especially before I came to the new city, trials were the things you wanted to avoid. That was the Christian faith. You know, I used to confess all kind of stuff. And I thought I believed all kind of things. And if there's one thing I knew was important, no, we don't want any of that. Not trials. Not troubles. But do you understand that this is God's way of working in a sinful and a broken world? Amen? This is the Father's way. And praise the Lord, the Apostle Peter, he's just like you and me. Just like you and me. There was all sorts of brokenness, but was God at work in Peter? Amen, he was. The things that came to him didn't come by flesh and blood. He knew Jesus was the Messiah because the power of the Holy Spirit was at work in him. Just like that same Holy Spirit's at work in you. Amen? And it exists right there. And sin's right there, right alongside it. Holy Spirit ain't intimidated. He's not afraid of that. He says, "Oh, let's go to the furnace." Okay, so Matthew 26, just prior to the Lord Jesus' arrest, Jesus told his disciples in verse 31, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Again, Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. So, Jesus is arrested. Skipping down to verse 69. Peter hung around in the courtyard while Jesus was being examined. And it says in verse 69, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard. This is Peter's furnace. And a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again and with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses. And he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words of Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. That courtyard was Peter's fiery furnace. The furnace exposed the impurities. Amen? Question. Did the furnace destroy Peter's faith? Guess what? The furnace won't destroy yours either. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
The furnace, it's not there. It can't destroy your faith. Now, granted, Peter might have, at the moment, when you get in the thick of it, you really think your life is ruined. Amen? When we're in a furnace, we think all end has come. We all do, at least me. I sure do. But the truth of the matter is, the furnace does not ruin our faith. The furnace actually simply exposes the dross, the impurities that are there. Are you with me? Is that good or is that bad? Huh? That's good. It's good. To remove the impurities. When you have a problem with sin and you can see it and you can deal with it, is that good? That's very good. Is there a solution when your sins are exposed and you know about them? Is there a solution? Yes, we've got a solution. Do we have anything to be afraid about? I mean, if it's just going to bring out my sin, if you believe in grace, this is not bad news. I got an answer. But it keeps coming out. Well, I keep getting it. I got the same answer. This really isn't bad. Are you with me?
Amen.
This is really quite good news. Now, do you see here that Peter was relying on himself rather than relying on the Lord Jesus? Do you see that? Now, he wouldn't have told you that. He thought fully he was relying on the Lord Jesus. Amen? That's what he thought. But in reality, he was relying upon himself. You think we might have the same problem? Maybe it's hidden from you and I. And we can't see it any better than Peter could. Are you with me? Until you get in the furnace. And then it's in everybody's. Whoa, there it is. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I tell you, I don't know him. And it's exposed. But no need to be intimidated by it. No need to fear it. It's actually something quite good and desirable. So, we too might have the same problem. But I want to encourage us, it's through passing through the furnace is what's necessary to mature our faith. You know, my wife gets on me all the time. In my impure faith, I like to think I'm going to buy the right book to help me to be able to mature. So I'm on Amazon all the time ordering books. And I haven't found that book yet, but I'm still trying. I might be looking in the wrong place. Because, children of God, we're not going to change by reading. Are you with me? I mean, you got to go through the furnace. I mean, even look at the apostles. Here they are. They see Jesus do all these miracles, feeding people, healing people, raising the dead. Oh, man, this is awesome. Whoa, wow, look at this. This is incredible. Jesus dies on the cross, rises from the dead. And they're just like, whoa, this is too real. This is incredible. Right, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And it says they worshiped the Lord Jesus after they saw him risen from the dead. And then there's this short little phrase. But some doubted. Some doubted after seeing all that. Can you? Some doubted after all that. People of God, we're not going to be changed even if Jesus walked down through here himself. That's not what you need. That's not what you need to refine your faith. If it was, he would do it. He knows better. He knows what you need to refine your faith. And what is it? It's the fiery furnace. That's what we really need. That's what's really going to shape our faith. That's what's really going to teach us how to love one another. That's what's going to train us to be able to love our community effectively. Passing through the fiery furnace. And so, when you go through the furnace, and that's what our next topic is, if you find yourself in a trial this morning, you find yourself in the fiery furnace, what should you do? There's several things here. One, first of all, don't be surprised. Amen? This is normal course. From Genesis to Revelation, our brothers and sisters, all who've gone before us, they all went through the fiery furnace. Nobody's exempt. Even though our flesh still wants to believe there's one exemption. There's just one exemption. And at least that's what's in my flesh. Don't be surprised when you find yourself in trial. Secondly, what not to do, don't be frustrated. Don't be frustrated. It's not a setback. It's actually the way forward. It's through the fiery furnace. God wants to use it. Remember the Israelites? They came up out of Egypt and they were led immediately into the desert. That was their what? That was their furnace. I mean, it's such a bold statement. The Lord says through Moses, I led you into the desert. That is, I set you up. And I led you there and I caused you to hunger. What? You caused us to hunger? Is that why you can't pay your bills? Is that why your body's falling apart? Is that why there's broken relationships in your life? Because God set us up? Now, if you're honest with yourself, the third thing you need not to do is to blame God. Are you with me? Because when you get in that furnace, you start, you get that attitude and that monster arises in you. And you give God a little pushback. Anybody been there? And you begin to want to blame God for this mess. I tell you, it was that woman you gave me. That's how we got in this mess. Are you with me? Don't go there. James chapter 1 makes it very clear. God only gives good gifts. That thing that's springing up out of you that's evil and dark with human agenda, that's sin. That's your evil desires, not God's. Are you with me? So when you get in the furnace and you're tempted to blame him, know and understand he is not to blame for the problem. Look in the mirror. Amen? So, on the positive side, what we do when we find ourselves in the fiery furnace is we need to go and find someone who knows all about the struggles. Someone, a champion who can lead us through the furnace. Amen. Jesus is the one. So this comes clear in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2, was written to our brothers and sisters in the Lord who found themselves in the furnace, just like all our other forefathers and sisters who came before them. Okay? And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to coach them, pastor them, father them through the fiery furnace. The furnace heat has been turned up so hot that some of them, their property was being confiscated. Some of them had abandoned the church and turned and went another way. Some who were imprisoned, others were publicly insulted and persecuted publicly. And they began, this furnace stuff is, this is getting too hot in here. And so this is what the writer of Hebrews says to them out of chapter 2, starting at verse 10. And bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. That pioneer is who? Jesus. He was made complete or mature through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Do you relate that way? We're of the same family. Jesus Christ has wholly identified himself with who? Us. We're from the same family. This is incredible good news. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children you have given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. Did you hear that? He himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Amen? Who do we want to go to? We want to learn how to go to Jesus, because he's got something he can give us. He is the one who is able to help us through the fiery furnace. Amen? Let us learn to go to him. So, one of the examples of the many multiple fiery furnaces that Jesus himself passed through was in Matthew chapter 4. Okay? So, you understand Jesus passed through many fiery furnaces. On the behalf of who? He did it for us. The joy set before him. Amen. But we're not there yet. That's where I want to hurry up and go. But anyways. So, Jesus was fully human in every way. Sometimes, people of God, I wonder if we don't discount Jesus and his humanity. He's God. Of course he could have done all this. He's God. But that's not what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, is it? He's telling us Jesus was fully human. He knows the pains and the sufferings. How much so? Matthew 4 tells us, immediately after the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested, Matthew 4, 1, to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." That's a quote out of Deuteronomy. "But on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do you understand that Jesus knows what it's like? He was hungry. He was in a circumstance that was out of his control. Jesus knows what it's like to walk into difficult furnaces when you know that life is outside of your control. You can't control the thermostat, and neither could Jesus. Jesus did not control the thermostat, even though the heat was being turned up a little bit more each day. Whose hand was on that thermostat? Was it Satan? No, it wasn't. It was the Father's hand. The Father controls the temperature of the thermostat. Are you with me? Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. He knows what it's like to go through difficult fiery furnaces when all you know what is breaking loose and you don't know what to do. Jesus is the one who knows about that struggle. Jesus is the one who's able to help you through that struggle. Amen? So come to him. Come boldly to him. He's equipped. He knows how to help you through. Even if your sin comes out through the fiery furnace. Are you with me? Is Jesus becoming a little bit more precious to you? The more and more that sin gets exposed. Ooh, the more good looking he is. Let's run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He knows what it's like to go through the difficult. He knows what it's like when life is out of your control. And he knows how to bring us through, people of God. He knows all about it. When there's not enough bread, he knows what it's like to be without bread. He knows what it's like to be without bread and still choose not to take matters into his own hands. Amen? Isn't that what we need to learn? Because when we get in the furnace, what we want to do, where's that thermostat? You know, we're trying to find a thermostat. Turn that heat down. And the Lord just keeps it out of reach. Oh, no. But Jesus knows how to hold out in the furnace. To us in our flesh, it's always too late in our flesh. But never too late in the Father's timing. Amen? He's always right on time. He knows how hot the temperature needs to be. Because, children of God, he's preparing you and I for something good. Amen? The concluding example I want to use and talk about is that of parenting. Parenting is a fiery furnace, parents. And all the parents said, yes, parenting is a fiery furnace. And sometimes the temperature really goes high. And things get really rocky. But part of the good news is there's joy in this. And what I'm talking about here, I just want to pull out of Hebrews 12. It's talking, just my only point here, I just want you to see here, is that when Jesus went through his suffering, because, you know, the fiery furnace is not an ends. Amen? There's a difference. The fiery furnace is not an ends. It's a means. Amen? And there is an end. And for Jesus, it's going to tell us, for him, the end was a joy. There was a joy. That's why he passed through the furnace, because he saw the joy on the other side. Listen to the writer of Hebrews out of Hebrews 12. I'll start at verse 2. Well, it's all so rich and good. All right. Anyways, it says, and let us run with perseverance a race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, or the completer, or the maturer of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What was that joy that was set before Jesus? What was that joy that he saw as he went through the fiery furnace of the cross? Amen. Amen. All along, he never took his eye off of you. He saw you through the fiery furnace. I want my brothers and my sisters to be with me. And so he endured the cross. Being a parent is just one of those realms where we get a little foretaste of that joy. I have the privilege, by the grace of God, be a parent. Got 4 children, 7 half grandchildren, and I must tell you, McGee's have been in the furnace, and it's been hot. I've been reaching for that thermostat, try to turn the temperature down. But I want you to know, God has so blessed me that I have begun to get a little bit of taste of the joy of having endured some hard years with my children. And boy, I've been tasting a little bit of getting on the other side. And my youngest just got married 2-3 weeks ago. the joy on the other side. To see, I remember what he was and where he was and